Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for another day, another good week. We're going to begin doing God's work. Every day is precious. Every day is an opportunity to learn something new about the Lord, or at least plant the word of God deeper in your heart that He already inspired you to learn. And I thank God for it. He once had me to write about the golden opportunities that He provides us with every day. God gives us the things that we need in this life as we follow Him. Remember, obeying God, it puts you in a position to learn what you can't learn any other way. And tradition won't tell you to do these things, but the Word of God does. If we do what we see Jesus do, Jesus didn't spell out everything He did. He did things, he taught them the core of what they needed to know, and he acted on everything that He said. And sometimes He did things in their sight. Like at the end of every day when they ministered, he would go and spend time with the Father in their sight. They went and ate and went to sleep. He would go spend time with the Father. And Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We need to pay more attention to how He did things and do things the way He did things. So in following God, I learned you have to pay attention to Him. Several times, Pastor talked about the mood of the Holy Spirit. And I understood what he was saying because I pay attention to the Holy Spirit. He has, sometimes He's in a teaching mood. And sometimes He will inspire you to praise God. You know, you got to pay attention to Him. And when he introduces you to something new, you have to receive that teaching deep in your heart so that you can withstand all of the challenges that the world will throw at you. The things of God, if they run deep in your heart, it'll be easy to walk it through. I'm going to say that again. If the Word of God and the training of God, the teaching of the Holy Spirit, it runs deep in your heart, it's easier for you to walk it through and do what's necessary. In all the weak spots that I know of, I ask the Lord to help me to get a good grip on what He's doing so that I can master that situation. And He knows how to train us. He knows what to say to me. He knows how I think and process. And when I plant the word firmer in my heart that He gave me. Now, I do that with the word I know about, but the things that He bring to my attention for my ministry, for my life, things I need to change, or things I need to be aware of, I endeavor to get a good grip on it so that I can master it. And if I can master it, then I can win. I won't be stumped by any challenge that the enemy will surprise me with. Remember, we're not fighting men. We're fighting what used to be angels. And their comprehension is greater because they were made. They would give them more information than we have. And they use what they know against us. And they know how to challenge men. And men usually take the path of least resistance. And when that happens, they fall easy prey to the ripoff of the demons, which used to be angels. Demons are not just mindless evil beings. They are very smart. They are very they were very intelligent, but they use their knowledge and wisdom to do evil purposes. They are very wicked. And they're not dumb, and they're not stupid. They're evil. which is a form of being stupid, but they're intelligent stupid. They're smart, and they know how to undo things. But I don't look at them. I look to the Lord, because he can keep me a step ahead of them. The Word of God helps you to operate in greater wisdom. And you have to do it by faith, because you can't see everything. You know, we don't have the same information that the angels started with. Men, we're made in the image of God. We learn step by step. And to my understanding, they were granted great knowledge. Great knowledge. They were born that way. They were made that way, however God did them. But, and the Lord can download knowledge in us, just like he downloaded knowledge in them. And but ours is on the style of what God went through. If you want to understand God, you have to look at Adam. Adam was in a position where he had to choose life. And God was in the same position. And he chose life. He chose the way of wisdom, according to Proverbs chapter 8. In the beginning of his way, he chose wisdom. He operated by his love and his pure, and he stayed pure. And that's what Adam was supposed to do. Adam took an alternative route, and it costed him everything. He died. So Jesus came and gave us life, and that more abundantly. And the Holy Spirit gives us a boost. Things that it'll take us too long to learn the things that we need to know, but the Holy Spirit will guide us to and prepare us to do works that will make the difference, and he will anoint you so that you can do whatever it is God needs you to do. And remember, the anointing gives you God's ability. In the last broadcast at the end, they're talking about how the Holy Spirit manages the anointing. He governs the anointing. He governs what calling you get when he reveals it to you. See, you're safe in him. He knows what to do. And he'll show you how to combat the world. He's there to help you combat the world. But he's there, and he will guide you. He will do his part. But it's up to you to pay attention. That's our part. That's the easy part. All we have to do is pay attention. And stop looking at the traditions of men. Now the Lord will all, every assignment that he ever gave, it was too big for a man to do. But he equipped him, he trained him, he gave him the anointing to do it. How could Samson kill 1,000 men with a donkey's jawbone? That's impossible for a man. And you can, and the people you're fighting are warriors. How can one man kill 1,000 warriors with a donkey jawbone? And nothing they do worked against him. And he killed them, and he lived. He was exhausted, but he did it. And the Lord and caused water to come out of that jawbone, and he drank it, and he was replenished. The Holy Spirit does the same thing with us. So the assignment that he give you, he'll give you the revelation it takes. He'll give you the training. Over time, he'll do it. But you have to believe it. You know, I always say that every broadcast I talk about that. But repetition is good. You have to receive it, and you have to believe it. If you stop, the only person that can stop an anointed man is the anointed man. Nobody can stop your anointing. They don't have the intelligence, the power. They just can't do it. The enemy has to get you to surrender it or to stop using it, to turn it off, to be unwilling. If he can do that, then your anointing will be dormant. Just like our faith, if we don't put works to it. And if we walk out of the love of God, our faith won't work anymore. Because faith works by love. A lot of people have true faith, but they don't have love. Or they don't walk in love. We need to walk in love. In fact, one scripture said, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, go and make it right. And then come back and give your gift. Leave your gift at the altar. You know, people, you know, ministers don't tell people to leave their tithes at the altar and go get something right. You know, they just expect you to do it, I guess, but you got to do that. You know, you have to, God doesn't want you to, he wants you to be right with people. If there's something wrong, go make it right. And that's important. A lot of good things are held up because of our love walk sometimes. And there have been people who were struggling to be healed and they couldn't get healed. And the Lord would show them who they have a problem with. They need to go make it right. And then they receive their healing. Faith works by love. So I endeavor to love everybody. You know, just everybody. Just love them. And if I sense somebody has a problem, I try to talk about it and get it right. That way we go forward and not be snared by the works of darkness. Now, other people may not see what you see when it comes to the anointing on your life and what God has given you. They won't see it like you see it, because the Holy Spirit trained you to do your purpose. They're clueless about what the Lord gave you. Now, the Lord had me to look at Judges chapter 8. And this is a good chapter. I love Gideon. Gideon helped me. When I studied Gideon, he always asked the Lord questions so that he could be stronger and more determined. You know, when the Lord called him, he didn't believe he could do it, but he had the anointing. He didn't know it. First thing he had to do was get rid of his daddy's idols. You know, stubborn Israel, if he didn't destroy his daddy's idols, they would have blamed the success on the idols. So the first thing he did was get rid of corruption. When you're anointed, get rid of corruption. You have to determine you're going to walk in according to the perfect ways of God. You're going to destroy lust out of your life, pride, fear, unbelief. You're going to work as under God. You know, a lot of things can't happen unless you're willing to do your part, unless you're really willing to do your own groundwork. And I've seen a lot of preachers, they want to preach. They want to build on somebody else's groundwork instead of go out there and do their own groundwork. And they want the pastor to let them preach as if that's the only chance they'll get to preach. And that's convenient. But that and it looks good. It looks better. But in ministry, you can't always do that. You have to do what's necessary. And the Holy Spirit will define what's necessary for you. And you have to do it with all your might. And I've seen people that, when they don't, even in the natural world, if you're not willing to do your job and do it right and do it well, people know it. And you know it. When you go into a bank, you want to wait on the teller that don't make mistakes and that's motivated to help you out. They have a friendly attitude and they say, "How you doing?" They speak and then they get your the service you spend with that teller, she do it right or he does it right. When you go to any store and you know, if you keep going to the same store, you get to know who the clerks that's or the cashier or whoever that's good at what they do. Or the parts people. I go to parts stores. I know which ones are the most motivated and I know which ones are the least motivated. And but the parts stores I deal with, they won't give you the wrong parts, and they're good at what they do. It's very rare that you get the wrong part. But you know people who have heart to do it. You don't want them to wait on you. You know, and God, you know, that's why we got to serve God. We got to serve God with a whole heart. We should never serve God half heartedly. And whatever you do, if you do it with enthusiasm, people notice it, and it people that's in a hurry, they want you to help them. Now you'll end up doing more work, but the rewards are greater. You have rapport with people because people know that you're going to do them right and you're going to get them out of there. And so they can get back to whatever, you know, people have schedules they got to keep. And when people are lazy, it's a very irritating problem. And it can even cause strife. But, you know, I know how dangerous strife is, so I just love everybody. But when Gideon took his assignment serious, first thing God told him to do was tear down his daddy's idols. So he did it, but he knew how the people were, so he waited till the night and did it. And then the next step arrived. God told him, you know, what to do. And the Lord selected his men. You know, he said, the men that's with you, they're too many for me to give Israel the victory. They'll vaunt themselves saying that they did. He started out with 30,000 men. And he said, tell all the men that's fearful to go home. So they did. 20,000 left, he had 10. He said, it's still too many. Because this shows how stubborn the people were. It also shows something else. Solomon in Ecclesiastes talked about one man out of 1,000 will obey God and be wise and do right. One man. Job said it first. He mentioned 1 of 1,000. Then Solomon said it. Now, out of 1,000 men, the Lord said, that's still too many. He had them drink. He said the ones that putting their hand to their mouth, they're the ones that the Lord choose. And the ones that drink water like a dog, they'll go home. Now, when they 300 men did it right, and they were the ones that God selected. The other ones, he sent them away. So now, Gideon's assignment is more intense, but he has the right people. See, the right people are in place. And the Lord taught me this a long time ago. When I've noticed that pastors have a lot of ministers in their congregation. There's usually a good amount of ministers there, men and women. And I knew this, but I can't tell people how to do their assignments. The Lord sent the ministers there to assist that pastor, and somewhere in that church they have something that they can be doing. But most pastors won't use them. They don't even ask the Lord what they're capable of. But when you're over something, the Lord will show you who goes where, what people's capabilities are, and when to get them to help you do something. We do things the hard way when we don't pay attention to the move of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will show the pastor, but they don't follow through with it, you know, for whatever reason. Jesus said you can't serve God and money. And you can't serve God unless you, if you have a single eye, your whole body will be full of light. Your whole being, your spirit, mind, your body, everything will be lined up to serve God, to do his will and joy with enthusiasm, because it's life. When you obey God, you're operating in life, and it puts you in a position to learn what you can't learn any other way. When you act on the life of God, the word of God, the wisdom of God, it puts you in a position every single time to learn something and to partake of life in a way that you can't in any other situation. When sometimes pastors want to be the one, you know, if they have a problem, if they're like Diotrephes, who didn't want John around, they want to be the one that has the center stage, and they don't want anybody else to steal their thunder. And they don't. And some ministers they may be better speakers, or they may have greater knowledge in some areas, and they get in competition with them, like Saul did with David. The spirit of Saul is still here. Unfortunately, these ministers, the ones that truly love God and they do outstanding things, they don't want to take supplant somebody. You know, the ones of God, they want to do right. They want to help any way they can. I know what it feels like to be a minister and you just walked in and you're new and you just want to be a blessing. You don't want to go and start another ministry out of somebody else and split the church. That's demonic. And I know other good ministers, they were like me. They wanted to do right, but they're not utilized. And they have, now when people stand before God, God's going to reveal what he sent to them to help them. But they didn't, they saw something else. They didn't, instead of looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, they saw their talents as a threat. They saw their, you know, they saw the people God sent as a threat to what they were trying to do. Not trying to judge anybody, but this happens. Or for whatever reason, they don't put people in the positions that they need them, where they need them. Sometimes they don't want to pay them. I don't know what it is, but I can't judge a man's heart. But I know what I saw for years. And people are cut out for different things. Some can counsel people in marriage. Some can do Sunday school. And some people, some preachers did it right. Some people, most of them didn't. You got jail ministry, all kind of ministries that can be done that'll take the load off the pastor. And as the church grows, you'll be able to pay them whatever you need to do. And sometimes they don't care about being paid. You know, you never know till you obey God. God wants to, some people want to be trained. They want to be you. They love God and they want to do his work. It's not always about fame and fortune, especially with people who really love God. They want to see the church thrive. And these are people who look up to you. People that continue to go to a church, they look up to, they love their pastor and they won't hurt, they won't do anything to supplant. Now there are tares out there that will. That's why the Holy Spirit will show you who's who and what to do. And you have to regard them. And sometimes they'll let the tare do it, not knowing that he's a tare. You can't tell who a tare is or who, you know, man or woman. You can't tell until it's too late. So the Holy Spirit can. And he'll show you when to do what. So Gideon kept on seeking the Lord about what to do. And he acted on everything that God gave him. He even acted on a situation that encouraged him. He said, if you're too afraid to go down, go and listen. And he went and he listened in secret. And he heard two Midianites talking. And one of them had a dream that a barley cake rolled into the camp and destroyed it. And the other one said, this is nobody but Gideon. And he's going to, you know, and it encouraged the dream. Or that conversation encouraged Gideon. He believed God and he went and did the works of God. And the way he fought was very unusual, but it was a move of the Holy Spirit. He did the instructions of the Holy Spirit. Now in chapter 8, he's after the kings of Orb and Zeb. Verse 1 says, and the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou called us not when you went to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said to them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian and Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan. See, people want to be included, but the Holy Spirit includes who he wills. So Gideon did what was of God. The Holy Spirit won't include everybody to help you do what needs to be done, because he has a purpose for what he does and how he does it. People won't always understand that. But what Gideon told to them, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit, it settled them, and they were all right. Their anger was abated. Verse 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. And I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread to thine enemy? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with thorns of the wilderness with briars. And he went up thence to Penuel, and spake unto them likewise, and the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their host with them, about 50,000 men, all that were left of the host of the children of the east, for there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. Now remember, when he came to Succoth, 300 men were chasing Zeba and Zalmunna, and they had a host with them. They had 15,000. So it didn't look like they were going to win. And people said, you know, the men of Succoth said, is Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand? As if he couldn't do it. Okay, continuing, verse 11. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeah, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian and Zeba and Zalmunna and discomfited all the host. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from the battle before the sun was up, and called a young man of the men of Succoth, and inquired of him. And he described unto him the prince of Succoth, and the elders thereof, even 67 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth, and said, behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city, and thorns of the wilderness, and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Penuel, and slew the men of the city. So he came back with those kings. Sometimes the work that God give you to do, it looks impossible to people. But it's not impossible. With the Holy Spirit, it's very possible, and it's even easy. It's easy to you. Because remember, we're yoked with Jesus. We do the easy part. He do the heavy lift. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, so that we can do our... See, the Lord is defeating Satan. If you look at the big picture, Satan wanted to be over everything. And the Lord, first thing he did to aggravate Satan, he made man out of the dust of the earth. See, angels are made out of precious stones. He made them out of rubies and diamonds and beryl stone. That's why when you see the angels in their original state, they look like jewels. And the glory of God shines through them. And Daniel saw one look like the beryl stone. You know, he looked like an emerald. Well, here God made man out of the dust of the earth. The dust of the earth. Five types of soil on earth. Red clay, yellow clay, black soil, white sand, brown sand, brown soil. We have all these, the dust. He made man to defeat the enemy. He didn't just defeat Satan. He made man out of the dust of the earth to do it. Now, so the works of God is the same way. It looks like dust in the eyes of everybody. Then the Lord will use a fraction of your faith and your actions. And it turns the world upside down. You understand that the 12 apostles, They turned the world upside down by preaching. They went out and taught, and it just changed everything. Nobody expected it. Jesus went out and taught, and a fraction of the people came. 5,000 men, which ends up being about 20,000 people when you add their wives and children, they came out and listened to him. But in Israel, millions of people stayed home. The Lord always uses a fraction, and he introduces his word in seed form, and it grows to the point that even this great nation, it was founded on Christian principles, and now it's the most powerful nation in the world, and he did it within 100 years. You know, in 1776, they won. In 1400, it started. So in a few hundred years, nobody could beat Great Britain at that time. But we did, because God was with us. Never underestimate what you can do and what God can do in you. You have to have faith in what God gives. That's what, see, Gideon trained. If you read the early chapters, he trained. So we have to train. Now we're out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to move in your life and bless you and train you. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. Jesus is our Lord.